The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you'll be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and you will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org, or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries. Today we're going to talk about what are you doing to earn a high throne for eternity. We're going to talk about your heavenly bank account, and we're going to talk about Angelo, a hearing impaired beggar on a high throne in heaven for eternity. An overview. Few people are aware of the fact that they have an account in heaven where everything they do in this life that adds or destroys value for the kingdom of Yah is accounted for as debits and credits, such that at the end of one's life, the debits and credits are added and we are rewarded or penalized depending on the net balance of the account. For a dramatic example of this, see the article Angelo, a hearing impaired beggar on a high throne in heaven for eternity, which follows this section of the broadcast. I will discuss in some detail your account in heaven and what you can do to add or subtract merit from that account. We'll then look at Angelo, a beggar on a high throne, and discuss some information that will challenge most people. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this broadcast is based on the article 2022-0901. What are you doing to earn a high throne for eternity? It's about your heavenly bank account. Few people are aware of the fact that they have an account in heaven where everything they do in this life that adds or destroys value for the kingdom of Yah is accounted for as debits and credits, such that at the end of one's life, the debits and credits are added up and we are rewarded or penalized depending on the net balance of the account. For a dramatic example of this, see the article Angelo, a hearing impaired beggar on a high throne in heaven for eternity, which I will discuss in a bit of detail at the end of this broadcast. So, you can add value to the kingdom of heaven, and that will result in credit in your bank account. You have a guardian messenger, a guardian angel, It follows you wherever you go and writes down everything that you do, such that there are books in heaven which record everything that you've done, all the good things that you've done, all the bad things that you've done. And then in addition to that, as a believer, you have the Spirit of the Almighty dwelling in you. So the Almighty witnesses directly everything you do and you think of. From the moment you start believing and the Spirit of Yah comes into you, He experiences everything that you do. He notes everything that you do. So when you talk about the judgment seat of Christ, it's actually the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. It's the judgment seat of Yah in you evaluating your life. As I said, fundamentally, from the moment of conception, we're allocated a guardian messenger, guardian angel, whose job it is to protect us and also to maintain a record of everything that we do, with particular emphasis on the things that we do which either add value or destroy value in the kingdom of Yah. It also includes all the sins we commit, so all the lies we tell, all the fornication we engage in, all the blasphemy that we engage in, all the lust, all the coveting, all the adultery, all the everything that we do. A net positive account balance is called merit, and we're rewarded for any merit we have accrued by the end of our lives with a specific rank in heaven, as discussed elsewhere. See, for example, the web page Where Are You Going and the web page Creator Desires Friends. Folks, I don't think many people really understand this. I've certainly not come across much teaching with regard to this. I think if you look around the world and see what's going on, you will recognize that people are not really conducting themselves. I'm talking believers here, are not really conducting themselves in a manner that indicates an awareness that everything they do is going to be called to account at the end of their lives. You can do a lot for Father and reach a high throne in heaven, or you can destroy a lot of value and end up in the place of the foolish virgins and the absolute outer limits of the throne room, or you can be disregarded and discarded and rejected completely. I write regularly about seeking a high throne for eternity, but it recently struck me that I'd not addressed the critical aspect of earning merit in the kingdom of Yah. I was corresponding with a man who's been associated with me in the ministry for several years and who periodically asks my counsel on various matters and also keeps me informed about his career and family. Some weeks ago, I registered that while some years ago he'd set up a website presenting some of my teachings in Spanish, he'd not posted anything for a while. So I asked him, "What are you doing for Father? What are your plans to serve him?" The following dialogue ensued. "Hi, James, we pray. We worship on Sabbaths, and we will teach our children to love Yahweh." Yah. His children at that time were, I think, 2 years old and a few months old. "And in time we'll invest much more of our time and resources in spreading his word and love for mankind." Note, in time. I replied, "That is not enough. You need to be actively ministering now, else you will be disappointed when you die. You need to at least post one article a week in Spanish on the website and have an emailing list, something that endures and reaches others." He replied, "What do you mean disappointed when I die?" In response, I sent him two voice messages. "Hi, I'm a bit surprised by your question. I've written so much about seeking a high throne. You're not going to get to a high throne by just worshiping and praying. That is housekeeping. That's looking after yourselves. If you want to qualify for a high throne, you have to do something to earn that high throne. You have to reach people for Father. The way you started out doing it a couple of years ago was posting articles on the website. when you post an article on the website, it is out there for people to read and touch them. And everyone you touch, you score points for in your heavenly bank account. If you set up a basic MailChimp free email account and start emailing people, you touch people. It's credit in your bank account. You need to be doing it every week. Telling yourself that sometime, when you get older, you will do more for Father, you're kidding yourself. You may die before then and come before Father, and Father's going to say, well, what did you do for me? You really need to think about this. You're so wrapped up in the world and your family and making a living, you're not looking out for Father. You're not doing anything for Father. You at one stage witnessed to a few people, but you've not done even that recently. You're so caught up in the world. The best you can hope for is that if you get to heaven, Father is going to say, well, you're entitled to come here, but you really have done nothing to justify a significant place in heaven. And I don't want that for you or your wife, or in due time for your children. You have to decide. Do you want to serve Father, or do you want to go on living life for yourself? Hope that helps. Second recording. You've got to be doing something to reach others for Father. You cannot just look after yourself and pray and worship and observe the Sabbath. That is simply obedience. That's not going to get you anywhere, my friend. You've got to do something actively to serve Father and reach others. Your credits when you die will be based on what you've done to reach others with Father's truths. If you have reached nobody, you're going to be in the outer reaches of heaven, my friend. So it's quite a long quote, but I think it really addresses the point that I'm making today. There are a number of distinct pieces to living life in service of Father Yah. First of all, you need to believe that he exists. Then you need to commit to him. And in committing to him, you need to invite him into your life. You need to clean up your life. You need to start worshiping, fasting, etc. That's all housekeeping, to clean up your life, so that you can work and walk closely with him. And as I've said before, it may take you 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You may never get to a place where you are filled with his spirit and moving in power and authority, but it's there for you. The question is, what are you going to do over and above worshiping and praying and observing the Sabbath, etc., and living free of sin? You need to do something that creates value in heaven. So you need to share what you know with other people. One way of doing that is to set up a website in whatever language you speak. And if you want to do a website, I can help you with hosting, at least to get you started. But that requires effort. It's a case of taking, if your home language is not English, taking, for example, my teachings or anybody else's teachings or your own teachings and publishing those on a website in whatever language you speak. So you can use Google Translate to do a rough translation and tidy it up, edit it, and post it. Or you can even have a website in English where you write your own material, or you can republish my material. But you need to be doing something that's reaching other people and having an impact on the world. So you can passively say, I love Yah, I spend hours worshiping every day, I pray every day, I read the Bible and other books every day. That's good. But you are not actively doing something to turn things around on earth. Right now, in the contest, in the battle between Yah and Satan is winning hands down. the number of people on the mountain of Yah, the number of people who at some level are seeking to get close to Yah, is decreasing day by day as the older generation die off and very few people of the younger generation join. Father has said to me that by the end of this century, unless something radically changes, there will be hardly anybody on the mountain. And in 200 years from now, the world will have degenerated into massive satanic and demonic activity. There will probably not be any believers, or very, very few. And it will be a desperate situation. What's needed today is to reach out and bring people to the mountain. It's to reach out and help people climb the mountain. It's for you to climb the mountain, and in climbing the mountain, help others to climb the mountain with you. You can't just selfishly climb the mountain with no thought to what you're going to do to bring others to the mountain or help others to climb the mountain. So you can have a fabulous revelation of the mountain, but if you're not doing something to add value to the kingdom, what's there to reward? Think about it. You can live in your little cloistered environment and worship for hours and pray for hours and read for hours and worship for hours and pray for hours and read for hours and worship for hours and pray for hours and read for hours, but you're not doing anything for Father. You're not helping him to win the contest. You're not generating credits in that bank account that we spoke about a few minutes ago. Your guardian is writing down, he prayed for 2 hours, he worshiped for 4 hours, he read for 4 hours. There's nothing to report in terms. So you'll get a certain way into the throne room by doing that, but you're not going to get to sit on a high throne unless you do something more substantial, depending on who you are, what you have, where you come from, etc. And we'll look at something in a minute when we talk about Angela that on the face of it is a little bit different. So all of this is really critical, and I suspect it applies to many people on my mailing list. Bible, Book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 13 to 29, with Yeshua speaking. It says, then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand and grasp the meaning of all parables? The sower sows the word of Yah, the good news regarding the way of salvation. These in the first group are the ones along the road where the word is sown, but when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, those in the second group are the ones on whom seed was sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but accept it only superficially. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure only for a little while, and then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they're offended and displeased at being associated with me, that's Yeshua, and stumble and fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries and cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness and the false security or glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all the other things creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those in the last group are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word of Yah, the good news regarding the way of salvation, and they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much as was sown. So they go out, and they bring other people to the mountain. They go out, and they help other people to climb the mountain. They give tithes to a ministry that is doing those things, and they invest in their relationship with Yah. Continuing, Yeshua said to them, a lamp is not brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not brought in to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it would come to light. That is, things are hidden only temporarily, until the appropriate time comes for them to be known. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear and heed my words. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given, and whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now notice the key word in that passage, apply Yah-like wisdom. If you study and pray and worship and don't apply what you're given, so you start to hear Father, but you don't repeat what he says to others. You don't document what he says. You don't preach what he says. You don't go and act on what he says. It's tragic. What's the point? Can you seriously say that you are serving Yah if you are not doing at least something tangible to grow the kingdom of Yah? Continuing, then Yeshua said, the kingdom of Yah is like a man who throws seed on the ground, and he goes to bed at night and he gets up every day, and in the meantime the seed sprouts and grows. How it does this, he does not know. The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head of grain, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop ripens, he immediately puts in the sickle to reap, because the time for the harvest has come. This is so important. Do not let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches get in the way of your reward in heaven. Continuing with this specific example, it does not take much effort to set up a free email account and start sharing what you learned from me and others with your friends, family, associates, etc. Sure, many will unsubscribe, but you'll almost certainly reach a few people who'll pay attention and start seeking you. There are many other things you can do. There are numerous websites where you can set up a free website. It doesn't have to be complex or sophisticated. It doesn't have to be clever. Just put articles out there, submit it to Google search, and people will find it. A mailing list is a good idea. Ask Father to show you what you can do to earn merit. One of the things you can do is to give to a ministry that is really adding value to you and to others is another way of investing in the kingdom. I recently had an individual who started tithing to End Time Issue Ministries, and he shared with me a couple of days ago that from the moment he started tithing, his finances improved, his relationship with Yah improved, his worship improved. You're giving to Yah, to some ministry that is doing things to reach other people. So I spend a significant amount of my income on website hosting, on email lists, on email servers, on these broadcasts, etc. That is what I'm doing to earn merit in heaven for eternity. Following a few other are a few other Bible verses that have a bearing on this topic. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of Yah's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. All of these quotes are from the Amplified Bible, which I recommend if you've not read it. The greater cloud of witnesses is described in the final quest. It's all the people who've died as believers, who have made it into heaven, who can look down on earth and they can see everything that we do on earth. So if you wish that your parents could see what you're doing that's positive, if they died as believers, they can see what you're doing. on the negative side. If you're doing things that your parents wouldn't be proud of, just take note of the fact that they're in heaven and they're watching you, and maybe they're not proud of what you're doing. There's a whole complexity around this business of preparing for life in heaven for eternity, and in qualifying for a high throne or position as an overcomer on a lower throne, or a good and faithful witness, or a wise steward, or whatever. It's up to you. Insofar as there is a race to qualify for reward in heaven, it's necessary to show up and compete in the race. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached the gospel to others, the good news, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. And this is written by Shaul Paul, who was a really notable emissary, notable apostle, who Rick Joyner reports is seated on a high throne in heaven forever, earning huge reward. And that's something else to note. If you do something, if you write an article and it helps other people, whatever that does, all the people that it helps over time, even for hundreds, thousands of years, that merit comes to you. So you earn more and more merit. In the same way, if you publish something that is destructive and it does the same thing in the reverse, that demerit comes to you forever and ever. And if you do something that causes one person to rise up and say, right, I am going to serve Yah, and they do serve Yah, and they bring thousands of people to the mountain, or they help thousands of people to climb the mountain, that credit, that merit will come to you. So in the passage that we've just looked at, we see Shaul, incorrectly Paul, a powerful emissary and spokesman, concerned that despite all that he had achieved, that he might be disqualified. How much more should we make an effort to overcome to the end and be found at the very least to be good and faithful servants? Romans 14, 11 and 12, for it is written, as I live, says Yah, the eternally self-existing, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to the Almighty. So then each of us will give an account of himself to Yah. In the Amplified Bible, we will give account. And I'm speaking to believers here. If you're not a believer, the first thing you need to do with this message is to start to believe, because you don't qualify to go into heaven if you don't believe, as I said right at the beginning of this broadcast. I'm assuming that at some level you believe, and I'm hoping that with what I've said, I'm challenging you to step out and to do things, at the very least tithe. It doesn't have to be to my ministry. It can be to any ministry that is feeding you, that is preaching truth and teaching truth. Publish. You don't have to write original articles. You can share my articles. There's a huge number of articles on my website. Take any that appeals to you, that you feel is relevant, and share it with other people. Do something that's going to help you, A, to climb the mountain, and B, to get merit for your life. Then, returning to the Bible, Philemon chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. So if you consider me a partner, welcome and accept him as you would me. But he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I shall write this with my own hand. I will repay it in full, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. So it is possible to have things debited to your account. The important piece to get about this is that we must live our lives in such a way that we bring credit to Father and to our own accounts in whatever shape or form this may take. So what Paul was saying there, sure, he's got this account in heaven. He knew at that point that he'd earned a lot of credit because he'd done a lot of things for Yah. And he says, I want you to look after this man. And if he does anything wrong, charge it to my account. Don't charge it to his account because I'm asking you to help him. So you can manage your account in heaven in that way. Assuming you've got something in your account to give in that situation. Think about it. What are you doing today to further the kingdom of Yah? What are you doing today to earn credit in your bank account? What is your guardian messenger writing down about what you did today, what you did this week, what you did this month, what you did this year? Is there anything of value to Yah that you have done? And yes, there is value in worshiping and praying. Don't get me wrong. You need to go beyond that. I fully understand the need to earn a living. I work hard 5 days a week to earn a living that enables me to pay for the websites, the email hosting, the radio, the TV broadcasts, the mailing lists, etc. Mail service. That does not prevent one from practicing some form of ministry on the Sabbath or over the weekend. It's simple to set up a free email account with MailChimp. Look at MailChimp.com or other free email account. I only mention MailChimp because I use it and I find it easy to use. One can have up to 500 subscribers and send up to 10,000 emails a month at no cost. So if you've just got a small list, you add a few family members and a few friends and just reshare some of my material, at least you are doing something to advance the kingdom. If you're a bit more ambitious, you can set up a website and post your articles there or articles from me or whatever works for you. Even more so, if you speak a language other than English, you can use Google Translate or similar to translate articles in English from myself or others, proofread and edit and post in that language. If you want to do this, let me know and I'll help you set it up. I can host the website for you if required. That said, you need to exercise discernment, because if you publish an article that is deception and error and leads people into deception and error, that is going to be a debit in your account. So be cautious and selective about what you publish. But for goodness sake, get out there and do something for Yah. He deserves it. You deserve it. What is vital to understand is that if you reach someone and they do something significant for Yah, that will also be credited to your account. I really encourage you to take active measures to seek to earn credit in your account with Yah. So that's the end of this particular piece. I'm going to go on to the next piece, which is based on the article 2004. .11.09, Angelo, a beggar on a high throne. A portion of the visions reported in the book The Final Quest that has had one of the greatest impacts on me relates to a hearing-impaired beggar named Angelo, who is reported to be sitting on a high throne in heaven for eternity. The message demonstrates to me that we are all called to love, accept, and fellowship with those whom the Almighty loves, irrespective of how they appear to our natural eyes and how our natural minds may judge them. It's easy to accept and fellowship with those who are like us, but the challenge is to love and fellowship with those the Almighty wants us to love and fellowship with. This account also graphically demonstrates that the things that most of us think are important in this life are frequently not important. I hope that this challenges you as it has challenged me. So this is Joyner speaking. In the vision, I saw a man who was zealously serving Yah. He was continually witnessing to people, teaching and visiting the sick to pray for them. He was very zealous for Yah and had a genuine love for people. Then I saw another man who was obviously a tramp or a homeless man. A small kitten wandered into his path and he started to kick it, but he restrained himself, but still shoved it rather harshly out of the way with his foot. Then Yeshua asked me which of these men pleased him the most. The first, I said, without hesitating. No, the second, he responded, and began to tell me their stories. The first man had been raised in a wonderful family which had always known Yah. He grew up in a thriving church and then attended one of the best Bible colleges. He had been given 100 portions of his love, but he was using only 75. The second man had been born deaf. He was abused and kept in a dark, cold attic until he was found by the authorities when he was 8 years old. He had then been shifted from one institution to another where the abuse continued. Finally, he was turned out on the streets. To overcome all of this, Yah had only given him 3 portions of his love, but he had mustered every bit of it to fight the rage in his heart to keep from hurting the kitten. This is really important, folks. If you've grown up in a privileged environment, particularly if your parents were believers and your grandparents were believers, and you've grown up with great blessings, and you're not doing something really substantial with everything that you've been given, you may be shortchanging yourself and shortchanging Yah. And on the other hand, if you've come from a terrible background like this individual and you struggled and what have you, and you were only given 3 measures of love, different story. Jonah continues, I now looked at that man, a king sitting on a throne far more glorious than Solomon could have even imagined. Hosts of angels were arrayed about him, waiting to do his bidding. I turned to Yeshua in awe. I still could not believe he was real, much less one of the great kings. Adonai, please tell me the rest of his story, I begged. Of course, that is why we are here. Angelo was so faithful with the little that I'd given to him, I gave him 3 more portions of my love. He used all of that to quit stealing. He almost starved, but he refused to take anything that was not his. He bought his food with what he could make, collecting bottles and occasionally finding someone who would let him do yard work. He could not hear, but he'd learned to read. So I sent him a gospel tract. As he read it, the Spirit opened his heart and he gave his life to me. I again doubled the portions of my love to him, and he faithfully used all of them. He wanted to share me with others, but he could not speak. Even though he lived in such poverty, he started spending over half of everything he made on gospel tracts to give out on street corners. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to go into a bit more detail in a moment. You can read the balance of this account on the website. The web page is about your heavenly account. But basically what happens with Angelo is that he gets so passionate about Yah that he would turn a cardboard box on the side of the street into a place of worship. Father allowed him to lead one whiner to salvation, to knowledge of Yah. And then he died sheltering a drunk who couldn't get up in the snowstorm. And for doing that, he earned a high throne in heaven for eternity because he had so little and he did so much with the little that he had, whereas the other man who had so much and didn't do nearly as much with what he had didn't score nearly as well. So you need to check this out. If you come from a privileged background, you need to understand that you need to do more to earn credit in heaven, to earn merit in heaven, than if your parents did not believe and you came from a poor background. It's not for me to tell you whether you are there or there or there or whatever, but I want to sensitize you to the fact that it is complex. There's an opportunity for you to score high for a high throne. And if you're a high achiever and you like a challenge, this is the ultimate challenge, to qualify for a high throne for eternity. If you're not that challenged, well, you might be content to settle for a lower rank in heaven. But to at least be aware and make a conscious decision as to where you want to be on that gradation of ranks. If you go to the cover picture of the website, where on that mountain do you want to be when you die? Do you want to be a friend of the Almighty and sit on a high throne with him for eternity with Yeshua? The thrones next to Yeshua on his left and his right are still vacant. I want to sit on one of those thrones, but maybe you can do more than I can do. Maybe you can qualify to sit on one of those thrones. I challenge you to take a new look at your relationship with Yah, a new look at what you are doing to serve him, and make some quality decisions about how you're going to go forward. To wrap up, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. And particularly in the light of this message, what are you doing for Yah today? What are you planning to do in the next week, the next month, the next year? And remember, as the case with my friend, it's no good saying, one of these days in the good by and by, I will start doing more for Yah. Start today. You don't know when you will be taken. I've said that you can be a friend of Yah, and I want to make that visible to you. The reason we exist is to be friends of Yah. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, short or tall, thin or fat, wealthy or whatever, African, Asian, American, European, Indian, whatever, Baha'i, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, Satanist. Father wants you to be his friend, and he will meet you wherever you are. If you go to him right now and say, Father, Yah, James Robertson says you want me to be your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me who to talk to. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Open the doors you want open. Close the doors you want closed. Show me what to read and what not to read, and so on and so forth. The prayers are there on the website. I encourage you to do that. I'm going to share a bit more information in closing. Thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org and email me to join the mailing list on james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I'd love to do that. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it's important to understand we are in the midst of a battle between Yah, the forces of Yah, and the forces of Satan. Being good is not the point. It's having relationship with Yah. It's serving Yah. It's doing things to promote and uplift the kingdom of Yah that counts. I hope I've challenged you to think differently about how you are going to lead the rest of your life starting right now. You can go to Father and say, Father, I want to make a difference. I don't know what to do in order to earn the merit that James has spoken about. Please show me what to do. And then do whatever comes to mind, however small or however big it is. It's a huge challenge. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's a narrow path leading to a small gate. Most people don't make it. But the opportunity is there for you to make it. If you've been listening to me for a few weeks, I'm going to share some information that you've heard. So you might want to drop off now. If you're new to the channel, I'm going to share a bit more, so I'd ask you to stay on. So to those of you who are dropping off, I'm going to say good night. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for a lot of information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far you can find by searching on Google for quote relationship with Creator Radio unquote. There are about 4 podcast sites with the history on. And then there are also transcripts and recordings on the transcripts of broadcasts page on the website. Books with teachings from 1998 until May 2019 are on the Books for Printing page. That's formatted PDF. Books A5 and A4 with covers, so suitable for printing. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you are doing to store up treasure in your bank account in heaven. If you're not doing things for the Creator in this life, you will be terribly disappointed when you die. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com internet radio or Talk4TV.com internet TV. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I'm also on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much.